All the classes are recorded anyway. Brother Mike does that, but I asked him also to put it on the website. There is a Bible class section on the website that you can go to. There wasn't anything there, but these are now, beginning with last week's, being posted there, and that's in case you are not able to be here because of traveling, sickness, whatever the case may be, and you want to catch up with the class that you missed, you can go to the website now and listen to the audio of that class. Now, the charts that I'll be using won't be posted on there, but if you want a copy of those, I can get those to you also. But you at least can, if you miss a class, go there and listen to the audio of the class and be able to stay up to date on our studies. Secondly, some orders were put in for some of the sources that I mentioned that you can use along with our study. The two-volume truth commentary on the Minor Prophets, Brother Haley's commentary, Brother Harkrider's workbook, I've recommended. Again, if you want those, I can point you to where you can order those, or if you want me to do it, someone may go ahead and order that for him. I can do that for you too. It's always good to have good resource material to help guide us through. But remember, all of these, including the workbook here, all the words of men, they're simply to help guide us where we find anything that they contradict the Word of God. The Word of God is always true and right. And we always put it first and foremost as the inspired Word of God. All right. A few things we remember what we looked at last week to remind us, or if you weren't here, to show you what we went over. We talked about the biblical context of the Minor Prophets, where they placed in the Bible, and in our English Bibles they come in the fifth and final division, the prophets. You can see divide up into major and minor prophets, and the 12 minor prophets that we'll be studying are in all listed there at the end of our English Bibles, Hosea through Malachi. They're major and minor, not because of importance, but because of what? Length, that's right, length. Isaiah, Jeremiah, they're long books, along with Ezekiel and Daniel. Minor prophets, relatively short books compared to them. So that's the only reason they're called major and minor prophets. By the way, along the way, and you'll see one in this workbook and then two in the next one, I do have what I call major prophet moments, and where I put a little box and talk about that prophet Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel, where they would come in to the context of these minor prophets. And so we'll take a little moment when those come up to talk about what the message of those books are, really briefly, and how they fit into the time period of where during the time of these prophets. In the Hebrew Bible, the minor prophets came in the second division, the prophet section and the latter prophets, and you can see them there listed. In the scrolls, they were just simply one scroll, and they were called the Book of the Twelve. The Book of the Twelve. So if you were carrying around the Hebrew Bible and your bag of scrolls, it would be one scroll that would have all of these minor prophets together and to be the scroll with the 12. So a little bit different than our Bible, but the same material. We went through the periods of history so that we could place the Old Testament books and the minor prophets in them. Talk about the patriarchal period, the wilderness wanderings, all took us through the first five books of the Old Testament. The conquest of the Promised Land, Joshua, through the first part of Judges. The time of the Judges into 1 Samuel and Ruth. King Saul, King David, King Solomon. You can see the books of the Old Testament that would come during those times and those authors. And then when we came to the divided kingdom, the eighth period of the 10 periods that I have this divided up into, then we run into our friends, the minor prophets. We see Joel and Amos and Jonah and Hosea, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah. And it's in the histories of the first and second Kings and second Chronicles. Obadiah, just a little bit toward the end of the divided kingdom into the time of the captivity, where we see some of the major prophets like Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel. And then the final one, the return of the remnant from captivity. Then we are in the minor prophets of Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And they come in the time of the history of Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. So we went through all those so that we could place in the Old Testament history, and I know that was real quick what we went through last week, but we want to place these prophets in their proper time period. And so mainly in the divided kingdom, where we have Israel in the north, and Judah in the south, and stretching on into the captivity and then the return of the remnant there toward the end of the Old Testament history. That's when these prophets come. These were very important years. These were very critical years. These were very troubling years. And that's usually when you see the prophets arise, when God would call the prophets, during critical times in the history of his people, troubling times. He would raise up these prophets to call out sin and idolatry and such problems as that were causing issues among God's people. And really, you see the time of the prophets from really the end of Samuel all the way through to the end of the Old Testament. You see prophets coming. Some non-writing prophets. What were a couple non-writing prophets? At least we don't have any books by their name. But famous prophets? Who was the one that went up on and had the contest on Mount Carmel? Elijah. Yeah, that's right. Elijah, Elisha. And there were several prophets that were mentioned. Ahijah. A few prophetesses also mentioned in the Old Testament. We don't have any writings from them, but we certainly see them working through critical times. But with beginning with Isaiah and all those and these minor prophets, we see their prophecies being written down and preserved for us. All right. We left off last time talking about what a prophet was. And we saw the word that's used in the Old Testament as an authorized spokesman, a speaker, one who gives a prophecy, also a seer, one who sees, idea of a vision or something God shows them that they tell the people about. We talked about Moses and Aaron, how Moses would be like God and Aaron would be his prophet. Aaron would speak for him. Aaron would be his mouth. And that's what a prophet was. He was a mouthpiece, one who spoke for another. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18, Israel was told that God would raise up a prophet like unto Moses and put his words in his mouth. That's what a prophet is. God's word was in his mouth. He was a forth-teller. He told forth the word of God. Now, usually people think of a prophet, somebody who told the future, a foreteller. Well, that might be something he says, but that wouldn't be the only thing. He was simply one who preached what God, the message God gave him to preach, the message he put in his mouth. They were often called the man of God. You see that with Ezekiel, especially. Ezekiel constantly referred to as the man of God, the servant, a messenger, a watchman. All of these terms were used to describe the prophets and their work. Any comments? Any questions? I always want to stop now and then. Donnie? Yeah, it's being about foretelling a prophecy. That's right. That's how you would know that a prophet was indeed sent by God. Deuteronomy 18 goes on to talk about that. If it didn't happen, you didn't have to be afraid of that person. They were not a true prophet. And there were many false prophets in those days who would come along claiming to say what God, but you, if they gave any prophecies that would happen and it didn't happen, then you knew that they were not sent by God. All right, well, that gets us in now into the next section I want to talk about. And there's a few things here that are not going to be in the material of the first lesson, and perhaps I should have included it. But if you want to, you can write some of this material maybe on the blank space here on across from where the first lesson begins, or there's a little bit of blank space after the questions down at the bottom of that page if you want to just jot some of this down. A little bit extra material here about the prophets and their preaching. Divine inspiration. How do we know that they were that what they said was inspired? And this is getting to what Donnie was talking about. Well, you would often see in these minor prophets and in the major prophets these type of things, like at the beginning of the book and sometimes throughout the book, you'll see the word like the word of the Lord that came to, or thus says the Lord. They would often say that as they would begin an oracle. the vision of. Look at, in fact, look at Hosea, the first of the listed minor prophets. Hosea chapter 1, and in verse 1 says, "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea." And several of them word like that. "The word of the Lord that came to Hosea." So that's referring to that Hosea certainly was not just talking on his own or giving his own spin on things, but this is the word of the Lord. The vision of, you'll see that, let's see here, in such ones as, I think, Obadiah. Let's see here. Let me look over here. I believe that, yes, Obadiah. The vision, the very first word, the vision of Obadiah. That's the third one there, the vision of Obadiah. And so you'll see these type of wording scattered throughout. Somebody turn to Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Somebody else turn to Micah chapter 3 and verse 8. And I'll read Haggai whilst someone's turning over to that. But these three passages also illustrate the divine inspiration colored through all of these prophets. Haggai chapter 1 and in verse 13, it says, "And Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord." See how that's worded? Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message. Well, that's why he's the Lord's messenger. He spoke the Lord's message. So right there you see the idea. What's Amos chapter 3 and verse 7 say? Who's got that? Very good. The Lord does nothing. He reveals His secrets to the prophets. If you want to know what the Lord had to say about a certain matter, you need to find a prophet sent by the Lord. And he or she, there were prophetesses too, and you see in some of the scriptures, would give the word of the Lord. And what's Micah chapter 3 and verse 8 say? Who's got that? Spirit of the Lord, you see there. The Spirit of the Lord. And again, talking about that the Lord is directing their words. The Lord is the one sending this message. These men were but messengers. That's what these prophets were. Here, Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 12, and I wrote it out here, but that's a very important passage, says, "The law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets." Notice that it is the law and the words of the Lord. It was sent by His Spirit. It was communicated through the prophets. That's very, very similar to what we see in the New Testament, where we see that the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, spoke through the holy apostles and prophets. Same thing. So God is doing the same process in both covenants. Through the Spirit, and you see the work of the Holy Spirit in Revelation, both in the Old Testament and we know in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, speaking of these men of the old times, these prophets that we're talking about, both minor and the major prophets, and even the ones that did not have books that bear their names, so prophecy never came by the will of man. That is, it was not from human mind. It's not from a human source or human wisdom. But holy men of God, he's referring to the men like the minor prophets that we're going to study, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that's what Zechariah is talking about. He was sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Didn't come from their minds, their wisdom. But holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So these passages, both Old and New Testament, testify to the divine inspiration of the words of these men. And that's why we study them, not just for curiosity, but for knowledge, for instruction. For the things written aforetime were written for our learning, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. They were written for our learning, that we might be admonished by those things that were written aforetime, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And that's what we will see in these prophets. We'll see what they said to the people of that day and time. And we'll see that we can apply many of those principles to our day and time too, because many principles are eternal principles of God concerning sin, concerning righteousness, concerning justice, and so forth. All right. Here's another good passage you might note down in 2 Kings chapter 17. And in verse 13, it says, "Yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah." See, it's the divided kingdom, Israel in the north, Judah in the south. "Lord testified against both of them by all the prophets and by all the seers." Notice, use those two words, prophets and seers, "saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets." Notice two major things they did. They told the people to turn from their evil ways, to repent of their sins, and to keep the commandments and statutes, the law that he had commanded the fathers, which in their day and time was the law of Moses, the covenant of Moses. And he did this, testified against Israel by all the prophets, sent to you by my servants, the prophets. And that passage very clearly shows what the major mission of the prophets was: to preach against sin and to call people back to the obedience of the will of God. And really, isn't preaching today pretty much the same thing? We're to call out sin that destroys men's souls and call people back to the obedience to the will of God. Absolutely. Sin has always been a problem, and this is how you deal with sin. Point it out, you expose it, and you call people back to the righteousness of God. All right. Now, on page 10, I have there the historical context of the minor prophets, giving some dates. Now, there's an earlier page, going back to some of the introductory material, where I give dates in biblical chronology. This would be on what would be page 5, starting with the birth of Abraham down through the birth of Jesus. And those dates are important to know. These are specific dates now for the context of the minor prophets. And just to quickly go through these, and they're listed there on page 10, we have in 721, and these dates are very accurate. There might be a year difference in some listing of dates, like 721 or 722. But really, for some of these, like the fall of Samaria to Assyrians, we know virtually exactly when this happened as to how we arrange our calendar, AD and BC. BC meaning before Christ. The fall of Samaria, or the fall of the capital of the northern kingdom to the Assyrians, happened in 721. Many of the prophets warned the northern kingdom that this was going to happen, and it did. So this is a very important date in the context of the preaching of the minor prophets. Then almost 100 years later, then we have the fall of Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria, the fall of Nineveh to the Babylonians, which is the next major power. The Assyrians were taken over by the Babylonians, and that happened in 612 BC. In 606, the Battle of Carchemish, and I'll talk about the maps that I handed out in a little bit, but there's one map that shows where the city of Carchemish is, but there was a major battle that happened there. King Nebuchadnezzar, you've heard of him, of the Babylonians, destroyed, really wiped out what was left of the Assyrians. And that basically was the battle that changed history there to the Babylonian Empire. Then in 597, the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. We know this to the day. It was March 16th. March 16th, 597, the fall of Jerusalem to Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. The Bible describes this in the book of 2 Kings and in 2 Chronicles. And we know exactly when that happened. Then 586, just about 11 years later, the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon. Jerusalem fell, or was taken by the Babylonians, and then because of some who were resistant, Jews who were resistant and rebelling, Nebuchadnezzar then took the city itself, and destroyed it, and destroyed the temple, Solomon's temple, 586 BC. All this happens within the context of the preaching of these minor prophets. Many of them predicted this would happen. Many of them looked back on it and warned others about it. The beginning of the Persian period, 539, Cyrus, king of the Persians, makes a decree that all the captives that had been taken by the Babylonians, including the Jews, could go back to their home. That's a picture of the Cyrus cylinder that was found in the ruins of Nineveh, or ruins of Babylon, I should say. And on that little cylinder, about 4 inches long, is the decree of Cyrus that we read about in the Bible, allowing the captives of the Babylonian Empire to return back to their homes. And we read about that at the end of 2 Chronicles and at the first chapter of Ezra, you read that decree. Haggai and Zechariah show up to encourage the returning remnant to rebuild the temple in 520. They complete the temple 4 years later in 516. Ezra leads some exiles back in 457. Nehemiah rebuilds the walls of Jerusalem in 445. And around that time is when our final prophet Malachi also is involved. So all the minor prophets are working hard all through this period. All through this period of the fall of the northern kingdom, the fall of the southern kingdom, the captivity, and then the return of the remnant. They're all involved, and we'll see their messages dealing with a lot of these things, warning about a lot of these things. Any comments or questions? But just to show some of the history that's going on during this time, and we'll refer back to these things as the messages of the prophets demand. Here's those periods of history and lining up the prophets in them. The Assyrian period, 9th to 8th century. It bled into the 7th century a little bit. Then the Babylonian period, and then the Persian period. You might remember a couple of those were involved in the image of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember the great image, his dream there in Daniel chapter 2? You are the head of gold, Daniel told him. And then after him would come the arms and the chest, which would be the Medo-Persian Empire. And so a couple of those are involved in what Daniel was dealing with, and there's Daniel over here. So here's the minor prophets and the major prophets lined up in the time period in which they worked. Joel, Jonas, Amos, Hosea, and Micah, a lot of the early ones that we'll be studying, are in that early period warning the northern kingdom about their sins and what's going to happen. Isaiah is involved in that. Babylonian period, we have Zephaniah, Nahum, Habakkuk, and Jeremiah warning the southern kingdom that they're in trouble too if they don't repent of their sins. Obadiah and Jonah deal with other countries. Jonah deals with Assyria. He's sent to Nineveh, remember? Well, he didn't want to go. But we'll see that he eventually goes to Nineveh, the Assyrians. And Obadiah deals with the country of Edom. He deals with the Edomites, who were relatives of the Jews. So not all of these prophets were dealing with the Jews themselves. Some of them were sent to other people to talk to them. And we'll see what that means to us today. And then in the Persian period, at the time of the return, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, Daniel and Ezekiel, of course, were dealing during the captivity. And that's the chart that you see at the top of page 10, basically, top of page 10. Again, history, but trying to put them in the proper historical period helps us from time to time to understand what they're talking about and why they say the things they say and the critical time in which they live. It's like getting in a time machine, going back to their time, and then Mike is sort of telling you, well, here's what's going on, and this is why I'm saying what I'm saying. And trying to feel the tension of the times. And we'll see that in their word. We'll feel the tension when we read their words. We'll feel the love of God as he stretch out his arms to his people to draw them back in. And we'll see his anger at their spiritual adultery through their idolatry. We'll see all of that. And we'll feel the tension. We'll feel the emotion of the days because these were very troubling, critical days. This is not my chart, it's somebody else's chart, but it sort of shows a little overlap. You can see a lot of these prophets overlapped each other. I mentioned last time, I'd like to think some of them knew each other and talked to each other. Like you see up here, Hosea and Amos and Micah all overlapped each other. Did Hosea know Isaiah too? Did Hosea know Micah? Did Isaiah know Hosea? Isaiah know Hosea? Did he know? I'd like to think they knew. But they all were working at the same time, sometimes in different areas of the country. And I'd like to think they at least knew about the work of one another. Some maps were handed out. I mentioned to some before class began that there's one thing I regret about this workbook is that I did not at least put at least one map in. I goofed up on that one. But I provided you some maps. Four maps in all. This is the divided kingdom, showing the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah, just showing you again those divisions. And you'll be able to identify cities on here and other nations, and you can see nations like Philistia out here at the bottom left, and Phoenicia, Moab, little piece of Edom down there that Obadiah is going to deal with Edom, little piece of them down there. So it gives you a little view of that. And on the back of that page, on the back of that is a larger map, larger in area here, showing you the world as it is. The area of Babylon, you see the Tigris and Euphrates rivers there coming out of the Persian Gulf. The city of Babylon, you can see the city of Nineveh, you can see some of those cities there. And from time to time, I'll use these maps to identify. The second map is the places of the prophets. Let me get to that. There's the one I just was talking about. That's a bigger view of that world at that time. And then the places of the prophets is a good map. And I'm thankful that Thomas Nelson's handbook of Bible charts and maps, boy, what a great resource that is. And they allow me to download all these maps and freely use them. Thank you, Thomas Nelson Publishers. and we have a good printer here that prints these maps out beautifully. Places of the Prophet shows where some of these were born and where some of them worked. And I thought that was helpful there. And we might refer to that from time to time, but you can keep that. And then on the other side of that one, again, is a map that I borrowed here that shows, again, where a lot of these prophets were dealing with, like Israel, you have Elijah and Elisha, Amos and Hosea. Edom, down here you had Obadiah. Assyria, there's Nineveh, Jonah and Nahum. Jonah and Nahum both were dealing with the Assyrians and Nineveh. Babylon, you had Habakkuk, Ezekiel, and Daniel. The only one that threw me off, the author of this one has Joel over here in post-exile. He's got Joel over here with Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. I don't agree with that. But I can't change it. It's copyright. I can't change it. But the map is yours. You can write whatever notes you want in it. So you can write whatever notes you want in there and make notations and arrows and whatever you want to do to help you to see the area in which, just like if you gave someone a map and say, here's Sefner, here's where I live. And here's Tampa over here, that's where I live. And it sort of just gives the context to where all this is happening. And where all these people are, these prophets are talking about. All right. Any comments or questions? I have this over at the top of page 10, the top of the third column there, the biblical text. What's the text of the Bible, the history that covers all this? Well, it's 2 Kings 14, verse 23, that starts with the kingship of Jeroboam II. Jeroboam II in Israel, on through the end of the book. That's all the period that the minor prophets are working in. In fact, there in 2 Kings 14, you see the name Jonah mentioned there, outside the book of Jonah worked during the time of Jeroboam II. And then 2 Chronicles 26, all the way through Ezra and Nehemiah. That's the biblical text's history that the minor prophets are all involved in. If you get a Bible, sometimes they have those chronological Bibles. Have you ever seen those? chronological Bibles. Effelgard Smith did one some years ago, and there's several that have come out where they put the Bible in chronological order, starting with, of course, Genesis 1. But as it goes through, they put the Psalms, some of the Psalms into the history of David. And some of Solomon's writings they put into the time of Solomon. And they'll do that with the prophets too, and you look at those chronological Bibles. In the history of those periods there, they'll put the prophetic books in where they belong. And as you read through there, you're reading through the history, all of a sudden there's Hosea. Ooh. And you read Hosea because it falls right in that time of that history there. And so they put all those books into a historical lineup. And that can be sort of interesting and helpful. And some people do their daily readings by using those chronological Bibles. The function of a prophet. Now, this is the last part of the lesson here on page 10. Four things I mentioned. Four things that are the function of a prophet. First of all, the prophet taught the people to trust in God's mercy and salvation, not in their own strength or human allies. That was one of the major functions of a prophet. Teach the people to trust in God, not in man. Very important. You see that theme all through it. Secondly, they reminded the people that a blessed life was conditioned on their faithfulness to the covenant of God. If they wanted to be blessed, they need to be faithful to God's word, God's covenant, submitting the whole heart to God and devoted obedience to His will. They constantly beat that drum. Like I said, these prophets are not unlike us today. Very similar themes. Third, they gave hope for the future for those who put their hope in God. They said, your future will be good if you're obedient to God. If you're not, a future not too bright. So if you want a good future, put your hope and trust in God. And then fourth, they pointed to the fulfilled prophecy. And that's what we were talking about earlier. Fulfilled prophecy is a seal of divine authority on their words. He says, they'll say, you will see this happen. This will take place. And they would be able to know that a true prophet was among them. So those are four functions of a prophet that I list there. Very important functions. Now, I want to add to that, and you can do this material comes from Brother Harkrider in his excellent little workbook. And I want to add this in, and you can scratch this down if you want to in some of the open white space. Important topics found throughout the prophetic books. Political, social, religious conditions of the time. They talk about that. Especially in Amos. You'll see Amos talking about how they treated the poor. Oh, they treated them poorly is what they did. The people who lived up in the palace totally ignored the needs of the people. That sound familiar sometimes? That's the way it happened. And so they talked about the social conditions, the religious conditions, the oppression that was done by those of the haves against the have-nots. A lot of that. God's relation to the Gentile nations. I mentioned that Jonah was sent to the Assyrian. He was sent to Nineveh. Nahum prophesied about Nineveh. And that's often, I remember Nahum in Nineveh, in. That's how I know. Remember, Nahum went to Nineveh. He didn't go to Nineveh, but he prophesied against Nineveh, the Assyrians. And Obadiah, the Edomites. So God had a relationship with the Gentile nations too. And they were responsible to God just as the Jews were. And there's another important topic, future messianic time and kingdom. We will identify a number of places where God's future messianic kingdom is talked about. Peter in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, who did he quote in his sermon there? Pardon? Well, that was in chapter 3. Chapter 2, who did he quote? Joel. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He quoted a minor prophet. And he talked about that the Holy Spirit would be sent. That's right. And then in Acts 3, he quotes from Deuteronomy 18. That's right. All of that. So they talk about that. So Joel talked about that. And others will talk about the future time and kingdom to come. And then there were the themes of the prophet. Did everybody get that? I'll hold just a moment here. I got just a couple minutes. You're writing that down. But those are three important topics Brother Harkrider noted, and I wanted to share that with you. But before time runs out, I want to know, he had some themes of the prophets too, and some of this overlaps, but it's helpful. Some of the themes, the holiness of God. They hit that constantly. God's holy, and your actions are not, he often said. Your actions are not holy. You should be ashamed of yourselves. The sovereignty of God, that God is over all. God has all judgment and power. We always need to be reminded of that. The immutability of God's word. Immutability, that's a big word. It simply means it can't be changed. It's unchangeable. You can't change God's word. You can do this, you can do that, you can say this, you can say that, but that doesn't change what God said. And the prophets hit that hard. These are all things we talk about, isn't it? This is what the prophets were talking about. The terribleness of sin. Boy, they hit that hard. Especially in Hosea, when he has Hosea marry a woman of adultery. And he says, this is what you've done to me. You've committed adultery against me. I mean, he describes it in the starkest terms of how terrible it was. How they needed to repent and turn to righteousness. Constant theme. Then finally, that God is due worship and worship as he is prescribed. They need to worship God. In the final book, Malachi, we'll see how when they came to worship the temple, they brought sacrifices of the lame and the sick. Oh, what a weariness, they said. Well, that's not worship due unto God. Malachi said, you might as well just close the doors. It's not worth it. That's what you're going to do. When God's opened a storehouse of blessings to you and you bring that foolishness to him, God deserves the very best. And so these are themes of the prophets. So I wanted to share those with you just to buttress the things that we're talking about. Next week, we'll answer the questions as we review this, and we'll get right in to our first minor prophet. Well, who's that? Hosea. So look over the lesson on Hosea. I'm not going to read through these lessons. You can do that as well as I can. But we'll be going through it, and we're not going to rush through it, but we're going through it, and we're going to hit the high points. And we're going to study these prophets. We're going to absorb these prophets. We're going to enjoy these prophets. So look forward to it next week.